always want to thank a few people when I have this opportunity. First of all, for Preacher, for trusting me. Second, for Miss Barbara, who has that ice-cold water for me. And third is for my wife letting me live long enough to do this. So, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, that's the Mediterranean he's talking about, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded me. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Thank you, Father, for the promises of your word. Help us to believe them and live them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my assigned subject was how God spoke to me about success, and I wanted to think, well, I don't know if I ever had any. You know? I've suffered a lot of losses, but I've had some wonderful, wonderful successes in my life. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about one of the amazing technological advances that's come along in years, HDTV? You know what I'm talking about? High-definition television. In technical terms, it just has more lines of resolution than conventional screens, and digital technology has made possible the addition of hundreds and hundreds of lines of resolution. So the picture is almost lifelike. We have a Samsung, I don't know what, something 65-inch 4K curved screen. This thing is smarter than my computer. We don't have cable TV. We only have internet, and we have about 100 channels available to us. We just found one the other day, some new this TV updates itself looking for signals. Thing is too smart. And it found one of these digital channels that we can watch This Old House, and that's all it's there. No commercials. Man, it just goes episode to episode to episode. It's channel number 1,000 and something. I don't know. But these things are crazy. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 10 feet away or 2 feet away. The picture is perfectly clear. There are no fuzzy lines. There's no distortions. There's no shadows. It's unlike any TV image that I'd ever seen before. And by the way, Samson's come out with a new one. 85-inch 8K. You can run down to Circuit City and pick it up. All you need is $25,000. You know, if you saved your tithe, you might be able to do this. Oh. You'd have to be pretty rich to save a tithe that big, huh? Yeah. Now, if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's almost like the difference between seeing a photograph and seeing the person in person. It's just an amazing thing. But I want to raise a question. What would our lives look like in high definition? What if we went from conventional to high def living? Now, we're going to look at something in life that we obsess over and sweat over and dream over and talk about and work for and look for. All of us want to be successful. Nobody wants to be a loser. But we need to be successful in high def. One of the reasons that by the time, I guess I was about 14, 15 years old, when I made up my mind this is what I was going to do in life. I was going to be successful. I already defined it for me. First of all, I was going to have a great career in the Air Force. Not only as a missileer, but I was going to get my commission when I got my degree. And I was going to become the first double supersonic jet ace in the Air Force. I was going to have at least 11 kills. Air to air. I was going to be saying, and I was going to retire after 20 years as a bird colonel. Second, yeah, y'all know reality. Those of you who are in know the reality of the situation. It just don't happen like that. By the time I was 50, I was going to be a multimillionaire. I was going to be the CEO of McDonnell Douglas or Lockheed or one of those kind of places, make his money. I'm going to have a $1 million home, and I'm going to have a second home on that ranch in Wyoming, in Pinedale, Wyoming. Probably spend more time there than any place. And I was going to marry the most beautiful girl in school. I got 1 out of 5. And I'm proud of that. She gets embarrassed, but she doesn't understand. I see her like she was the girl when we got married. And I'm telling you, she was a knockout. I had to run off older men. She even had a pharmacist who was rich trying to marry her, and she took me instead. So I got that one. Now, this idea of success, I heard a story about these three business professionals who were comparing ideas about what it meant to be successful. One man said, I would say I was a success if I were summoned to the White House for a private, personal meeting with the President of the United States. The second guy said, nah, to me, success would be meeting with the President of in the Oval Office and having the hotline go off right during our talk and watching the president just ignore it. And the third guy said, no, man, to me, success is meeting with the president in the Oval Office and the hotline rings and he picks it up and says, it's for you. But you know what I've finally understood? I've reached the conclusion that much of what the world calls success is really failure in disguise. What a lot of people call success really isn't. Many of you remember the tennis player Boris Becker. You know, he almost committed suicide before somebody stopped him. He said because of the sheer emptiness in his life. He said even though he was what you would call successful, he knew it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. He said this, and I quote, "I had won Wimbledon twice before. Once as the youngest player. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed, money, cars, women, everything." And I know this is a cliche. It's the old story of the movie and pop stars who commit suicide. They have everything, and yet they are so unhappy. He said, "I had no inner peace. I was just a puppet on a string." And never more than ever has the topic of success been popular. This materialistic country we live in today. You go to Amazon.com, you'll find over 7,500 books about how to be successful. The only people being successful are the ones that are selling those books to us dummies. I mean, everybody wants to know the secret of success. These two guys were talking. One man said, "Do you know the secret of success?" The other man said, "No, what is it?" He said, "I can't tell you." The second man said, "Why not?" He said, "Because it's a secret." But everybody wants to be successful. Nobody wants to be known as a failure. Certainly not me. And the Bible talks a great deal about success. And you're going to see tonight that God is interested in your success. Just like he was interested in Joshua's success. In fact, he said this very thing to a man named Joshua, what we read over there. Let me just give you a little quick overview. For 400 years, Israel had been in bondage to Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. God had miraculously delivered them from their 400-year bondage, had promised to take them to the new land called Canaan, and unfortunately, they disobeyed. What happened is God said, "Go take the land." And they decided to form a Baptist church. And of course, at Baptist church, they had to have deacons. And they elected 12 deacons. And they went and spied out the land, and the deacons voted 10 to 2. "We can't do this," and they shut it down. But that's what happened. God said, "Go take it. I'm giving it to you. It's yours." And they said, "There's giants in the land." You see, in the Bible, Canaan represents victory. It represents success. All the things that God had done for them in the past were simply trying to get them ready for the present and the future. The man who was responsible for making all this happen in the end and seeing to it that God's promise would be kept was Joshua. God taught Joshua then a lesson he's going to teach us tonight. The real takeaway of this whole thing is real success only comes from God. That's it. If God doesn't get it, you don't. If God doesn't give it, we don't get it. We're going to learn tonight from God's Word how to be truly successful. And the method might surprise you because success involves three things. First of all, it involves living in the presence of God. Now listen to me. The presence of God is kind of a scary place. Verses 1 and 2, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Now, obviously, Joshua knew that Moses was dead. The whole nation of Israel knew that Moses was dead. They were mourning him. But why did God remind them that Moses was dead? You see, we need to remember Joshua was not just following a leader. He was following a legend. How's he going to step in to the place like Moses' feet? I mean, Moses had been a security blanket for Israel for 40 years. He's the man. Y'all remember Moses? He had some specialties. He could pull off some stuff. He could lead an entire nation out of a 400-year captivity in one night. He could part a sea with the wave of a stick. He could rain bread down from heaven on a daily basis. And when the nation was just about to thirst to death, he could strike a rock and have that rock spew water like Niagara Falls on steroids. Now listen to the real reason why any success that Moses had was because God was with him. In verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." See, there's no true, lasting, or meaningful success apart from God. And I remind you again that real success can only be given by God. A man once said, in whatever man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. Do you know why that statement's true? Because without God, all success ends in ultimate failure. Take a man who's a combination. Bill Gates, Tiger Woods, Brad Pitt, Donald Trump, and me. Forget the me part. You'd have one of the most handsome, richest, powerful people and famous people in the world. This man can buy anything, go anywhere, meet anybody he wants. He's literally on top of the world. And let's imagine that this same man has one thing missing in his life, and that's the presence of God. He's got no connection with the Creator. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dies that way. Was he successful? I don't think so. I don't think the reward for success is eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus said no. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That's why success without God's really a failure. At death, the only thing that's going to matter is not your fame and fortune and wealth and worth. But do you know Jesus? It's God in your life. C.S. Lewis said, "He who has God in everything has no more than the man who has God alone." It would have been very easy for Joshua to have been intimidated. I mean, he's following a legend, we said. It would have been very easy to see failure as much more possible than success. But God wanted Joshua to understand to paraphrase that old saying, it's not the size of the man in the fight, it's the size of the God in the man. What God was saying to Joshua was, all you need to be successful is me. Now, what does that have to do with you and me? Well, just this. The same God that promised his presence to Joshua promises his presence to us. God the Holy Spirit moves in when we trust Jesus. And he speaks to us. He warns us. He tries to influence the decisions we make. But God's a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on anybody. God's promises are not limited to those people in the past. What's important about a promise is not when it's made, it's who makes it. And the same God who was with Moses and the same God who was with Joshua is also with you. God's with us everywhere we go. That's why we should never, ever hesitate to go anywhere that God tells us to go. Because when God tells us to go somewhere, He's not sending us, He's taking us. I remember the first man that I had the opportunity to witness to on our bus route in Chicago. We're brand new there that fall, and I already told you about the guy set me up with the demon-possessed dude, and we went down the stairs, you know. So I didn't trust them very much, but I can't even remember this guy's name, but he lived on the second story of a 12-flat. And he was a pretty husky guy and kind of rough, but he had let his kids ride on the bus. And it was Saturday morning when we made those visitations. And I knocked on the door, and he came, and he said, you know, yeah, the kids will be coming. And I asked him, how about you? Wouldn't you like to come to church? Don't you know Jesus as your Savior? He said, well, I hear Jesus' name all the time, and I go to church here and there. But I said, can I sit down with you for just a few minutes and show you from your Bible? And I used his Catholic Bible. I want to show you from your Bible how you can know that God's your Father, heaven's your home, and you're secure forever. And he let me do it. And he prayed. And he said he would be on the bus with his kids Saturday or Sunday morning. Now, I was a little bit intimidated about talking to this guy, but I did it anyway, and God followed through. But here's the clicker. Sunday morning, we went by to pick him up, and there was black crepe all over. The mama answered the door. The girls were all there. Her husband had drowned that night. And if I had just said, you know, I don't feel like this, you know, no, Lord, it's not the right time, that guy'd be in hell today. And I'm looking forward to meeting him when we get there in heaven. So, you know, when God tells you to do something, he's not sending, he's taking. Let me tell you a little story about a little boy who was afraid of the dark. His mom told him to go out on the back porch one night and get a mop. And he didn't want to go because he was afraid of the dark. And she said, son, haven't I always told you that there's nothing to be afraid of in the dark? He said, yes, ma'am. But please don't make me go get that mop. She said, don't you know that Jesus is always with you? Don't you know that you are never alone? Don't you know that you have nothing to be afraid of? And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, all right, go out and get that mop. He walked out the back door, opened it up about 2 inches, stuck his hand out the door and said, Jesus, would you please hand me that mop? We kind of like to do that in life, you know. And the truth is, we can always live in the presence of God. And if God is with us, we're going to be successful. We're walking with God and living for God. We're a success in God's eyes. Second is obeying the principles of God. Now, we thought and always been taught that success is tied to education, to what you know, or to connections like who you know. Yet, amazingly, God says the major primary source of success is the Word of God, is the Bible. He's tied success to the Scriptures. He tells Joshua the way you respond to this book will determine whether or not you're a success or a failure. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So this book is God's manual for success. When you make up your mind that you're going to live your life according to what God says in His Word, you are going to succeed in the things that really matter. Joshua realized he didn't need Moses because he had what Moses had. He had the presence of God to guard him, and he had the principles of God to guide him. He would never, ever have to doubt what he needed to do in crucial situations, because God's Word was going to tell him. God is very specific in telling Joshua what he's to do in this Bible. And he's to be successful. He says, first of all, in verse 8, he said, first of all, you got to look it up. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What he means by that is you got to make Bible reading and Bible study a part of your daily life. I know that affects a lot of us, because even though 93% of Americans own a Bible, 50% never read it, including 23% of those who say they follow Christ. Only 18% of Christians read their Bible every day, and 57% do not read the Bible other than when they're at church. In fact, more than 10% of the American population thinks Noah's wife is Joan of Arc. I mean, you ever wonder why crazy things are happening? Because blind people are leading this stuff. If the Bible is God's manual for success, then the only way to know how to be successful is to know what God says about success. Doesn't that make sense? And the first thing you've got to do is look it up. Get in the book. Find out what God's saying. Then you got to let it in. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That word, you know, meditate, refers to a cow chewing a cud. She chews it over and over and over and over. She'll swallow it and then burp it back up and chew it some more. Hey, and she's got four stomachs, don't they have four stomachs? Yeah. I bet that smells good. So what he's saying is we're not only to read the Bible, we're to think on it. We're to meditate on it. We're to let it run around in our mind, let it become a part of our heart. That as we think about life, we think about life from God's viewpoint. And after you look it up, you let it in. Or after you look it up and let it in, you let it out. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in the law. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have great success. It's not enough just to read the Bible and study the Bible and meditate on the Bible and even memorize the Bible. To be successful, you got to obey the Bible. Well, that's where we fail. That's where we got to learn to get up and get started again and stay on the right track. You know when the Bible really comes alive? It's not just when you read it, but when you live it. And all of a sudden you start to realize, this stuff is true. I mean, this stuff really works. When I follow what the Bible tells me to do, what the Bible says happens, happens. There's nothing that guarantees real success than reading, meditating, and obeying God's word. Think about it. You can never go wrong when you follow God's word. And you can never go wrong when you obey God's word. Just that simple. And the final step to success you see in your outline is fulfilling the promise of God. Verses 2, 3, and 4 again. Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. You and all this people to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Now remember, God had already made this promise 40 years before. And now it was time for the promise to be kept. There was a whole, you know why it took 40 years? To get rid of the generation that said no. What I just read was Joshua's divine purpose. That's what he was born to do. The greatest discovery that we can make is to find out or know why we were created. Why did God create me? And the greatest tragedy in life is for someone to live their life and die without ever knowing why God created them. See, value and worth are directly related to purpose. What do you mean? Well, a car that won't run is worthless. Amen? You ever been stuck on the side of the road in a snow blizzard? You know what I'm talking about. A pen that don't write is useless. And if we're going to be what we need to be, then we need to find our purpose in life and fulfill it. Have you ever thought about the fact that there are only three types of people in life, and you're one of those three? First of all, there are these people that have no purpose in life. They just drift aimlessly through life. They go to school, get a job, switch jobs, find a spouse, switch spouses, move from house to house, place to place, retire, and eventually die. They don't really live, they just exist. Then there are people who have the wrong purpose in life. They may be super achievers. They may have climbed the ladders of financial and political and social success only to find the ladders leaning against the wrong wall. They either realized too late or never realized once again that any success without God is actually failure. And the third type of person is the person who's found the right purpose in his life. They know why they were created. They know why God put them here on this earth. And they are all about fulfilling that promise. I'm telling you, when God called me into ministry, nobody was more surprised than me. And quite frankly, I didn't want to be no stinking preacher. All they do is fuss at you on Sunday morning and beg money out of you. Man, I have to go back and apologize to all the preachers that I thought that of sometime. Probably have to spend the first few years in heaven doing that. That's how I felt. Success is finding out what God wants you to be and doing your best at being it and doing it. Now read that definition carefully. Notice it has nothing to do with prosperity. It has nothing to do with popularity. It has nothing to do with power. It has nothing to do with possessions. It has everything to do with purpose. Because that's the only thing that brings God's guarantee of success. You know why you're here?
To keep the secret.
Yeah. Our job, the basic reason, you know why God created men? To bring glory to Himself. Our job is to glorify God in all that we do. And I know none of us do all the time. But when we fail, we get up and start over. Amen? Notice these last words to Joshua. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. That's an incredible promise, folks. What God said, or God said that when you find the purpose that He has for you, and you give your life to doing that purpose, you will be an irresistible force, and you will be an immovable object. This is not what I'm saying, it's what God says. When you're living in the presence of God, you're obeying the principles of God, you're fulfilling the promise of God, you're a success. One of my all-time favorite movies is Ben-Hur. The 1950s one. You know, the first movie I ever went to that they had an intermission in it. You know? The only other one I ever remember that an intermission was Gone with the Wind. But if you've never seen it, you ought to, because that movie has won more Academy Awards than any other movie in history. You know who played the lead part? Was Moses, Charlton Heston. He plays the part of the Hebrew, and in part of his job in that movie, he has to learn how to drive a chariot. He's supposed to win this chariot race that he's going to be in, but he was having trouble just staying in the chariot. So he goes over to the director, Cecil B. DeMille, and he says, Mr. DeMille, I can barely stay on this chariot. I can't win this race. DeMille looked at Charlton Heston and said, son, your job is to stay on the chariot. My job is to make sure you win. And when you understand success, you realize that real success can only be given by God. Then you know, then you will know that when you are living in His presence, obeying His principles, fulfilling His purpose, success is guaranteed. Don't you want to be a successful person? Don't you realize that God has something He created for us to do that nobody else can do? Nobody can do what God has planned for us to do. And if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. We went home to that 50th high school anniversary, graduation anniversary this fall, and the numbers of the people who died were just amazing. And I think back now, I wonder if life would have been different for some of them if I had been living for the Lord in that time. I had a little influence at school. They elected me student body president. But I wasn't living for Jesus. I was afraid if I really did, He wouldn't let me marry Mary Lou. How did I know He had her? He had all that erased to use her to get me right. But where are you tonight? Are you living a successful life? I don't mean being rich, but the truth is, the average American is richer, would be considered rich people all over the world. It's amazing how we want more and more and more and more. And I'm guilty too. I still want that new truck. I told Brother Butch he could take up a collection and help me get it, and he showed me a picture of a push truck. You know, it's not a hard thing to understand. The hard thing to do is beating our flesh back and bowing the knee to the Lord instead of self. It all starts by knowing Jesus. You'll never win if you don't know Jesus. If you don't know Him tonight, there'll never be a better time to trust Him. And if you aren't living for Him now, there'll never be a better time to start. Preacher's going to come give the invitation. I pray you'll listen to what God has to say and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit tonight.
Tonight, would you stand? You've heard the word. We look around. Sometimes we wonder what others think. But Brother Rusty nailed it. It's what God thinks. You know, what God thinks. Tonight, is it well with your soul? Or has God spoken to you and there's a decision that you need to make? Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe you're saved and you've never made it public. Identified with Him as a believer in scriptural baptism. Maybe you're saved and identified and looking for a church home. And if this is it, we want you to know that you're welcome. Whatever that decision, let's make it for His honor and glory as we sing.
Just as I am,
just as I am, Lord.
One plea, but that
that's how I'm coming to you. Just like I am.
Me, and that
trusting you to do the cleaning,
me,
the cleansing, the saving.
Me, O Lamb,
O Lamb of God, I'm coming. On this verse,
just
give over to Him. Just make the decision that He's laid on your heart. Allow Him to have His way. And come. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rusty. You know, I thought of that, those verses where God tells Joshua what He's given them. And people, you realize that God's given Israel 10 times what they're occupying. They're living on 10% of what God promised them. And the world's trying to get them to give up a portion of that. Now, that's a fact, but there's also a spiritual application there. God's given us so much, so many promises. And if we're lucky, we're living on 10% of them. We're leaving 90% of them on the table. And the devil's trying to get us to give up what we've already got. Amen. Sad, isn't it? Let's go to the Lord. And Eric, how about you come in and dismiss us, please, sir?
Father, we just want to come to you, admit that we are broken people, Father. I pray that you would forgive us our sins, our shortcomings. I pray that you would instill in each and every one of us the portion that we need to know what true success is, Father. I pray that we would see things through your eyes, Father.